Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey as we take a little bit of a breather this morning. Bishop, a busy week for a lot of us, and we are going to reflect now on the Gospel of John for this Sunday.
Thank you, Jesse. Yes, it's been a busy week, but it's always good to be with you and reflect on the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, when he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. An image that we're all familiar with, Jesus the Good Shepherd, but so many things to reflect on. And the thing that, of course, is striking for so many people, that not only the imagery of Jesus being the shepherd, but the way the sheep recognize his voice.
Yes, and you know that you see that amen, amen. It's mm-hmm. twice here in this gospel, and it really is the way anyone, truly, truly, I say to you, amen, amen, I say to you. In other words, it's a proclamation, and mm-hmm. it's not something just a cute fairy tale story.
Right.
It's really a significant teaching that Jesus is presenting here. So it's something that getting our attention to all of us to listen to this. What is he trying to say to us?
Mm-hmm.
I was this past week at the Newman Center, at the Catholic Newman Center at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and I had a little dialogue with the young members of the university there. It was really nice because I really found it, and it came clear to me. It was like their questions I thought were going to be really going to be difficult to answer,
right.
But it weren't. They were about spirituality, about relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
relationship with Jesus Christ. And I had read something last week that also said that the young people of today are looking for spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people, we give up.
Right.
We kind of classify everybody, but no, these are sheep
mm-hmm.
looking for something true. But what got me is that one of them asked me, what was my favorite scripture verse mm-hmm. from the gospel?
Right.
Another one said, you know, things like, how do you come back to God, you know? And it was just so vivid to me that using scriptural images such as this one,
right.
you can explain. Because sometimes we've learned the catechism, maybe the doctrine of the church,
mm-hmm.
but that's the doctrine that explains the beauty of who Jesus is. It's not in itself something that we can guide us. It can be a truth that we have, but Jesus is the truth.
Right.
So when we look at this one, we see Jesus really speaking to the sheep. But Jesus is saying here that those who come by a different route or different way to get into the sheep
mm-hmm.
are thieves and robbers. They climb over the gate. today we could say that they use unconventional ways to get into the midst of people and that they're not there for the right purpose. So Jesus is warning against that for us today. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd mm-hmm. of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. You know, I don't want to say it's like conforming to a certain way of life. You have to go through the gate. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. But in all of this, the gate, the shepherd is a person. I think that's what I take from this gospel, especially on this fourth Sunday, is that the gate, the shepherd, the gatekeeper is a person.
Right.
And that person is Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. And so anyone who comes over the fence, under the fence, around the fence, jumps the fence, tears down the fence, does not have the purpose of Jesus in mind, does not have the goodwill of the sheep in mind, but trying to destroy. And we find this so often in our society, you know, when you look at, without naming, but I think all of us can put names on those who jump over, go under,
right.
try to confuse people, communities, whatever, that these don't have the right intention of good. Mm-hmm. And it's the shepherd that calls the sheep and the sheep follow because they recognize his voice. And this is so important for us today to look for the correct voice of who we follow. I was just, again, I guess being with those young people the other night really struck me. And if any of them are listening today, I want to thank them for inviting me and just spending time. But, you know, none of them ask any kind of a theological, theoretical question about anything, but really how to come into a better contact with Jesus, how to pray. When it was, how do you pray? How do we pray? And just giving that. And it was like, it was, I don't know. In some ways I felt like Jesus, I'm not Jesus, but I felt like Jesus with his disciples, just showing, here's how you pray.
Right.
Because that question was asked to Jesus as well by his disciples.
Of course.
And this is a shepherd and the sheep.
Oh, you're the shepherd of our flock here in the diocese, so that makes sense.
Right.
That they were asking you that. And I think these young people were trying to find a connection, trying to make a connection to Jesus and to form that relationship that you said that I think a lot of times can't be explained by theology as much as it can be explained by the interaction and the connection that you make through prayer.
Right. But I think that is true. But I think the other point of where we are today is that those sheep become shepherds. Mm-hmm. You know, as they leave, as we gather and we talk about these things and the beautiful relationship that we can have with God, they leave there as shepherds, and they go in and people follow them
right.
because of who they are and the respect that they have because their life manifests something that's much deeper than what people follow. And so I think, as they hear the voice, then they have to be the voice. Mm-hmm. And that's, sisters and brothers, for all of us. I think we've too often in the church have just, father will do it, sister will do it, whatever. We're all shepherds in a degree with our family, with our community, if we're teaching in school, mm-hmm. If we're working in an office. You know, we're a shepherd there because we've heard the voice, and the voice, which is the gospel, begins to burn within us. We don't have to say anything so much. But we can allow people to see a good example in us and become a shepherd that leads people. You know, someone will say, well, I don't have a job that's a leadership job. Well, yes, you do.
Yeah.
By your baptism, you are a leader mm-hmm. in the sense of bringing people to God through a simple word, through an act of kindness, of reaching out to them. So Jesus is not just speaking of himself only as the shepherd. Yes, the chief shepherd, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that shepherding becomes the mission of each one of us to be able to bring others to God.
I think, too, that goes back to what you said about the voice. There's so many voices that we hear, young people especially, day to day, so many different voices from so many different places. And being able to recognize and find comfort in Jesus' voice when he speaks to us. He may not always speak in ways we expect, but he that having that connection enables us to recognize it a bit more. And I think those young people, as I'm sure, as they welcomed you, they also had those questions that they probably have been mulling over and thinking about, what am I going to ask the bishop when he's here? Yeah. And you were able to guide them in a way that, of course, it was not only an example of your humility, but also guiding them to say, this is how you get there. This is what you have to develop it. You have to reach out and forming that connection through recognizing God's voice and Jesus' voice in different situations will get them there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, you become, as I mature, 48 years of priest, but, you know, you begin to see it's not about telling them what to do.
Right.
It's giving them an example and mm-hmm. speaking the truth, encouraging them to do the same. Mm-hmm. And it was a very peaceful, I guess I was very struck. That's why I'm talking about it
right,
today. I was
right,
very struck by that evening with it was probably about 35, 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And just that they've created a great community there, and just to be able to speak to them about the deeper, I guess what I'm getting to is the deeper things of life, because mm-hmm. Jesus's voice goes deeper than just follow this, don't do that.
Right.
Why didn't you do that? You know, follow the rules, uh-huh. et cetera. But it's really a call.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of God reaches deep inside of us. In fact, one of them, and maybe we can talk about this more in the second segment, but one of them said, how do you know when you've heard the voice of God? Now that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's quite profound.
It is.
So it makes you kind of stop and
right.
think. But these are the questions that are being asked. If I've not been praying for a long time, how do I come back
mm-hmm.
to pray? Now, maybe I'll talk about the answers that I gave, because I think in some ways the Holy Spirit I was open to the Holy Spirit, because I wasn't, you know, when you're facing a crowd of 40
right.
Young adults and asking questions that I didn't know what they would be, they were really real. But maybe that session will spark the second half of our conversation to see what some of those questions were and what the responses were.
And I think too that exchange becomes even more significant. You mentioned this last week and on a couple of previous programs as well, the different voices that are out there, the different distractions that are out there, and whether it's coming from the screens that we're in front of or the voices of the people that we hang out with, it's harder for younger people to make those distinctions. And that's why I think those questions are so profound, because they realize that they need to find an answer to that question. And they're not just lost in the whole thing of catching up and posting on social media and being this or being that. They're realizing that once you clear that away, you've got to find those answers yourself. And when you find them yourself through your guidance and the guidance of the people around them, that makes it that much more meaningful, which I think is going to be something when you share that with us. I'm anxious to hear how these answers came about in your visit with them. And you said this was at the Newman Center over at Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi.
Here, Corpus Christi.
Right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the Newman Center on the campus there, and a great group of young people that are being formed there. So it was a great job. Great to be with them.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
It's another really big one, and it may just be the answer to your spring cleaning problems. It's the Corpus Christi Cathedral's annual Spring Rummage Sale, set for Thursday through Sunday, April 27th through 30th. It runs from 4 till 7 the first day for the early birds, and then 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday. Where? Yes, its new location is Central Catholic Cafeteria, 1218 Comanche Street. And it'll be overflowing with quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and more. And all at great bargain prices. Proceeds from the sale will benefit the Cathedral Parish. Donated items should be clean, sanitized, and in resaleable condition. To donate those items or receive answers to your questions, call Donald Harris at Corpus Christi Cathedral, 361-883-4213.
This is Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Easter, reflecting on the Gospel of John and the Good Shepherd and an exchange that Bishop Mulvey had with some students at Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi at the Newman Center. Some thought-provoking questions, Bishop. You said that in the previous segment you would share with us how you responded to some of
yes.
these.
Yeah, and I think the theme that for me that always guides these responses is what Pope Benedict always said is that our faith is not about rules and regulations, and we have those, but that it's an encounter with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and that's all about being the Good Shepherd, encountering Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and His voice. To me, is the loudest voice is always the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus is the Word of God made incarnate to speak to us, to guide us. So one of the questions was about returning to God. You know, mm-hmm. when you, for whatever reason, and after, there was no explanation, but, you know, when you kind of lost contact with God, how do you come back? Mm-hmm. And immediately what popped in my mind was, of course, the prodigal son and the forgiving father. And it was a beautiful conversation that just kind of flowed. And with them listening and asking more questions, but that the father ran to the son, mm-hmm. you know, with a coat, with a cloak and a ring and all these things, and was excited. And I said, you know, when we think about that, and I'm saying that to all of us today, if we have something in our life, we feel like we've not been close to God, God's not close to that. This is why Jesus told those parables, because His word explains who God is, and His life explains who God is. So when He tells the story of the merciful father and the prodigal son, when He shows how the father came to the son, that says something to mm-hmm. us. So I just said to this first person, I said, you know, whatever it is, don't wait. Mm-hmm. You know, like the son waited a little bit, and then he said, no, I got to go back.
Right.
But that's an instantaneous response to all of us when we feel that maybe we've been less faithful to God or we've not been close to Him in prayer. Go back. Mm-hmm. And I said, the marvel of that is that you're going back, but He's running faster to you.
Right.
And we have to imagine that, not just in a kind of a fable kind of way, but in a reality, that God is running at us every day.
Right.
He wants us. I did this, you know. If you look at even the Old Testament, it says He cast your sins, and what's red becomes white. I mean, He wants us, and that's the excitement of that He wants us. And so that's the Good Shepherd saying to us today, look at this parable. If you're in that condition, that situation where you feel far away, you feel lost, run. Mm-hmm. And you make sure you hold out your arms, because He may run past you. He's so excited to
right.
find you. You know?
Right, right.
Just to make it kind of realistic, but He's there, and that's reality. Mm-hmm. That is, and that's something else that came up last night, that this is real. This is not just something I have to think about. It's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us have those moments. We just want to, turn back to Him. Mm-hmm. Another question was some elements of prayer. You know, what's prayer like for you? And of course, that's all personal mm-hmm. To all of us, but, you know, I told, of course, the normal things that we would do to say prayers, but I said, you know, there's every once in a while, we just have to stop, and that's when prayer really begins, when we can just stop and speak to Jesus inside. So many of the saints have spoken about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. St. Teresa of Avila, for one, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, I'm sorry, lives in us, Father, Son, and Spirit, God in His whole, in the wholeness of God, lives inside of each one of us. And to be distracted by many things, these voices that the gospel speaks about today, we can't hear. And it's absolutely necessary that silence be a part of our daily life, mm-hmm. be a part of our prayer, the essence, really, of our prayer, because all that we do in preparation, whether it's meditation, praying the rosary, all those beautiful things that we have, at a certain point have to be silenced.
Right.
And to let God speak to us and to be with us. And one of them said, I never thought of prayer as letting God speak to me. It's always trying to speak to Him.
Right.
But it's a dialogue, and that's why this thing of the voice, hearing the voice and being sure that that is the voice.
Mm-hmm. And not the voice of strangers.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you'll know. And that was the other question then. How do you know
right.
that that's the voice? How uh-huh. do you know that He's speaking to you with that voice? And that's something I said, you know, with time you have to learn, because we have to be faithful first. Mm-hmm. So you don't just walk into, you know, a strange place or with strange people and all of a sudden you feel connected. No, you feel absolutely frightened. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to meet this person, how to make that person, how to, you know, act the way, you know, you're supposed to. I'm thinking of different big places like right. the Waldorf Astoria. You just don't walk in like a, you know, like you're coming off the ranch or something. You know, this.
Right. You have to make adjustments, of
yeah,
course.
You adjust. Yeah. So even with God, I mean, you have to get used to that. Mm-hmm. So it is about praying. It is about spending time. It's about maybe going to adoration. And I've had many people say, well, what do I do? And I go, nothing.
Right.
That's the time just to sit there. And the more you get used to that, plus reading his words in the gospel, and that's why we do the Word of Life and talk about the gospel every Sunday, the more you do that, you attune yourself to his voice. And so something may happen in a certain moment in the day, and you pause and you went, my goodness, that's the voice of Jesus speaking to me. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were struggling with a relationship with somebody and they're a neighbor. And the person said that the delivery truck brought a gift for the neighbor, but mm-hmm. they dropped it off at their house, and uh-huh. they haven't spoken in a while.
Oh, okay.
And so how the person kind of maneuvered to get the package to them. And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? If I'd had that for me, I would have seen that, Jesus speaking to me, okay, mm-hmm. here's a package. You go deliver it to them.
Right.
You know, and you feel that strongly enough that that's his way of saying, you can go be reconciled, and I'm giving you this package to use as an entry to the door.
As the bridge.
As the bridge to get in and say, hello, right. I'm sorry, whatever it is. But these are the kind of things, these little signs, something like that, come up, and we really need to take advantage of that. And so that's why we have to be recollected all the time. Mm-hmm. That word, that voice of Jesus has to be there all the time. If I do want to be reconciled with someone, look for the ways. Mm-hmm. A strange package coming from a delivery company says, okay, now you go take it.
Right, right. You take that action, take that initiative, and Jesus leads us to the right destination.
Yeah, I might be afraid to knock on the door. Well, now you got an excuse to go knock
right,
on the door.
Right, right.
That's just the way that the Lord speaks to us in mm-hmm. so many different ways.
Right.
So, yeah, another one was they asked me what was my favorite parable or, you know, the gospel or a story mm-hmm. in the gospels. And I said, well, it had to be last Sunday, the parable of the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. the disciples on the road to Emmaus, because there's so many dimensions. We talked about it last Sunday.
Right.
But there's so many dimensions to that. Just the fact that Jesus walked with those two disciples and he entered into their life, into their situation. They were confused, and so he acted confused. It wasn't a funny thing, like mm-hmm. I'm trying to tease them. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? You
know? Right.
It was he acted confused as they were confused. So what, you know, let me join your confusion. When you think about that in our life, sometimes we think we have to get ourselves perfect before we can talk to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus made himself imperfect by becoming man. Although he was God, he emptied himself and became a human. Mm-hmm. So that if you apply that theological theory, the incarnation, the word became flesh. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, risen from the dead, in glory, again, stoops down to add his, to become confused with these two disciples. Mm-hmm. And that way he could get to know them. I said, you know, there's so many times that we may feel we have done something wrong or that we don't know what to do. And we never think about, well, let me check with the guy walking with me.
Right.
Just imagine he's always there. And mm-hmm. I mean, the young people, and I was kind of amazed by some of their reactions too, but that this is so real. I mean, and it's the voice of Jesus is so present. Mm-hmm. We have to be attentive to it. So I think this gospel today is really saying, you know, wake up, smell the roses, mm-hmm. or take the wax out of your ears and listen, or,
right.
or stop blocking your heart and listen to the word, because it's always there in every situation. So, that parable of the disciples on the road to Emmaus has so much vivid life that can really help us in everyday situation and bring us you know, to a spirit of prayer. And so I think at the end of this gospel, then, Noel, let me tell you a couple more things. Mm-hmm. So what's your best ice cream? Favorite ice cream? That was one of them. I said, well, it's peppermint. Uh-huh. By the way, I can make a pretty good bowl of it, peppermint myself. Ice cream. It's a, and yeah, if you had one last, that was another one. What if you had one last meal to eat, mm-hmm. what would it be?
Yeah.
And I said, well, living 8 years in Italy, it would be a bowl of pasta.
Pasta.
Carbonara. Carbonara. One of them said, what's that? So I told him it was bacon and eggs, uh-huh. and spaghetti.
And spaghetti. Ooh, that sounds good.
I'm going to go find one of those.
Right.
That was really kind of humorous, too. But I think all of this, you know, comes to those last sentences that whoever comes through him, the mm-hmm. good shepherd, the last words of this gospel, will be saved. Mm-hmm. And that salvation is not just at the end of time. It's the salvation of today.
Right.
When we're in a world that we don't know what truth is, where we don't know where to go, the salvation is always Jesus Christ in the present moment. So just remember that, Jesus Christ, in the present moment, open ourselves to listen. At the end, it concludes, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. If our hearts are in tune with the gospel, in tune with the voice of the Good Shepherd, we will have life and we'll have it abundantly because the Word of God takes us to many, many places that we don't even know where we're going. But once we go, we're filled with life. So God bless all of you today and listen to the voice of Jesus in every circumstance, especially in the depths of your heart this week, and you'll find that life that you're looking for.
We thank you for your reflection and your words and sharing your experience with those young people at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That is it for Our Shepherd's View this week. We thank you for listening. God bless.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
With a Cinco de Mayo theme, Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center will hold a huge fundraising banquet event on Thursday, May 4th in St. Joseph Hall at their 1200 Lantana site. There will, of course, be a scrumptious dinner, lots of fun, live mariachi music, silent and live auctions, and beverages appropriate for the occasion. Doors open at 6 p.m. For more specific information or to donate auction items, call the OLCC Bookstore, 361-289-0807. And for tickets and table reservations, be sure to visit their website, OurLadyOfCorpusChristi.org.